Hello and welcome. You're listening to Queer Quirks on UMFM 101.5, which broadcasts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the lands of the Anishinaabe, Nehiyawak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation. Now let's take a moment here to acknowledge that land acknowledgements do nothing to return that land to its rightful owners or to pursue justice on the basis of the past history of exploitation and degradation of Indigenous peoples within Canada. So if you haven't already and you can afford to, I strongly suggest that you make a recurring contribution to an Indigenous organization to make a concrete financial action towards pursuing the justice that should be our goal instead of acknowledgement. This is Queer Quirks, a queer talk and music show which examines news, history, culture, and current events through a queer lens. I'm your host, Lee Fraser, they, them, and I'm a PhD candidate in sociology at the University of Manitoba. But more importantly for the show, I have a long history of queerness and of advocacy and volunteerism in the queer community. The goals of the show are to showcase artists and creators who are part of minoritized genders and or sexualities, often referred to with initialisms like 2SLGBTQIA+. And I also discuss how events around the world affect queer communities because of how the world treats people who are minoritized genders and sexualities. Often this topic includes mistreatment and violence. I do my best to provide trigger warnings, and please let me know at queerquirks@gmail.com if you feel there's anything I'm missing. I also try to be balanced in my discussion of different groups, particularly if I'm not a member of that group. So wherever possible, I will direct you to further resources and readings or highlight people who are doing work from that perspective that I cannot provide with nuance and genuine understanding. I try to keep the show accessible, which means I rely on publicly accessible work where I can, and where I can't or where I want to highlight something that is not publicly accessible, I will work to provide interpretations and discussion to make it useful to people who have not pursued the particular career that I have. This last is very important because if you are someone who is, for example, bisexual, lesbian, trans, non-binary, if you are anyone who is a part of the groups that I talk about on this show, I believe that you're entitled to work that talks about your life experiences, and you're entitled to it in a form that's useful to you. So, if there is anything that I'm missing or anything that you want to comment on, I strongly encourage you to get in touch because I am always happy to hear about ways that I can understand the world better or work to make the show and what I do more useful and in some cases more entertaining.
So it is still Pride Month, and so some of you may have been out at Pride events. So this is my yearly reminder that if you are going out to Pride events, so if you are at the party, that I hope you need to, or that I think you need to show up for the rest of things too. So if you're going out and having fun, ask yourself, do you support everyone who this is supposed to be for, in celebration of? So do you support just the people who look the most like you think respectable people should look? So respectability politics, which also often focuses on people having an appearance that the mainstream groups consider acceptable before advancing them their rights. So do you have a picture in your head of sort of cookie cutter, cisgender, clean cut, homosexuals, who are buying houses and raising kids and, you know, fully all in on capitalism? And is that your vision of a accepted community? Or do you genuinely support all of us? So all of us who are poor or racialized minorities or disabled or people who are neurodiverse? Are you supportive of everyone who is part of the 2SLGBTQIA communities? Do you know what all of the letters in that initialism mean? Do you recognize and honor two-spirit identities, which means that you recognize and honor Indigenous people who continue to be discriminated against and exploited in this country? Do you recognize and support the rights of trans people, the rights of gender diversity that you may not need to recognize or entirely understand, to respect and extend the same welcoming treatment that everybody else gets in society? So often people will show up to Pride ostensibly supporting quote-unquote gay pride, so believing themselves to be accepting of gays and lesbians and bisexuals, but are you accepting of trans folks and intersex folks and genderqueer folks? Are you accepting of people whose gender expression doesn't fit your idea of what it should be? Are you accepting of people who sit outside of or somewhere else on the binary? Are you accepting of people for whom their advancement of rights and protections is bound up in the protections of things like sex work, something that has historically been something that, in particular, the trans community has ended up involved in, and in many cases, other members of the 2SLGBTQIA community, or the kink community, so other communities who have faced mistreatment or discrimination. So remember that Pride is for all of us. The rainbow flag was created to reflect all of us, and the new flag, which I admire and hope takes over in all places, that centers Black, Brown, trans folks in our communities, reminds us that there is an intersection of identities. So if you say that you support gay people, but you don't support trans people, one, you shouldn't be a Pride, because Pride is for minoritized genders and sexualities. It is not for your idea of what acceptable gay people look like. But if you don't support trans people, you don't support gay people, because there are gay people who are trans. So if you think you support lesbians, but you don't support the trans lesbians, guess what? You don't support lesbians. So you need to support all of us, and you need to interrogate your commitment to that community and see that you are doing something active with your allyship before you come out and celebrate with all the companies that are trying to get money spent on rainbow-themed stuff, because suddenly it is something that holds social value to be seen as supporting our community. Do you know what all the different flags mean? Do you know what a pronoun is and why you should offer yours and ask others? So a pronoun is the simplest form of address that's grammatically attached to a gender in English. That's not a very good explanation of what a pronoun is, but I'm not a language teacher. But a personal pronoun is simply a word that refers to someone when you're not using their name. And we have things like she, her, and he, him that are associated with binary genders, but that non-binary folks might use. We also have a gender-neutral they, them. And that's something that's been used for many years in the English language to refer to people whose gender is not known, for example, like a teacher who walked in the room and left something in there. You come in and you see, you know, they've left their lecture notes. Oh, they left their lecture notes. I hope they come back for them. So that's a very basic of pronouns that are common, but there are other pronouns. So do you understand pronouns and why it is important to ask them and not assume them? And is this something that you do in your daily life and say, not just at Pride or not when you just think that somebody's pronouns are unclear to you based on how someone is dressed? So do you support people on all kinds of expressions of their gender? So all sorts of gender diversity, as well as simply expressing gender in a way that is not typical or expected to you. So this can include cross-culturally. Same with pronouns. People come from all kinds of backgrounds, and not all languages use pronouns in the same way. And so if you refuse to recognize and learn about how personal pronouns reflect our identities, you're also holding a view that is not cognizant of all the different ways that language refers to people. And of course, outside of the different identities that we address with the initialism, 2SLGBTQIA+, within Canada, there are also many identities which would have similarities to what we consider part of these communities, but that might come from specific cultural backgrounds, from places where gender has been intentionally erased, for example, by the efforts of European colonization. And so it's important to recognize as well that honoring and recognizing gender diversity is not just something that matters to the 2SLGBTQIA community in the way that we conceptualize it in what we call Canada, within Turtle Island, on Indigenous lands that we stole, but also that, of course, gender diversity is something that exists in different ways all across the world. And so refusing to recognize gender diversity and treat people with respect no matter who they are is something that also smacks of racism and colonization, because, of course, it's simply not possible to untangle the efforts of colonization from the forcible and violent imposition of the binary gender and of very heteronormative ideals onto many parts of the world. And of course, simply if you're going for having a view of the world that reflects the evidence within it, it's just a fact that there's many, many genders outside of the binary because these are social identities that we've documented. We can talk to people. We know that gender, in terms of the sense of people have of themselves, even within the language we use here, is very diverse. And of course, it would be ridiculous to expect that there wouldn't be diversity across the world. So any aspect of human identity has diversity to it. And if you're a cisgender person, I encourage you as well to use this month as an opportunity to think about what your gender and sexuality means to you. Because often, unless you are part of a minoritized group, you don't spend time reflecting on that. And it's something that can be really valuable because often people, I think, respond in ways that are defensive to diverse identities because it threatens a simplistic idea that they've always accepted uncritically and that they have never reflected on their identity beyond being told that that's what they are. And so it's scary to think that there is more than that and that you don't have to simply accept however you happen to be categorized on the external appearance of your body at birth. A lot of things can change over your lifetime. You're not a baby anymore, for one. And also, it's just something I think we're entitled to as adults. The world does not have the right to dictate who we are in many, many ways. And other than being kind and accepting of other people and caring for each other with our social resources, I can't think of any reason why I would be entitled to limit someone's identity. And of course, with the things I just said, those are not identity limiting aspects. What I mean by that is generally, I don't have a lot of interest in anyone else's behavior if it's not harming me. And if you think that equity for people of all genders and people of all sexualities harms you in some ways, why? I'd like to know why. You're welcome to write to me why, queerquarks@gmail.com. I'd love to know what you think the material harm is of people being accepted in the way that they are. And I will say that knowing that there are identities that I don't necessarily understand or relate to. And frankly, it does not matter because someone else's identity is not necessarily my business, except in the sense that, you know, I find many people interesting and I care for many people with diverse and interesting identities. And those people, I do like to know more about because I love them, for example, but it's not really any different than, you know, wanting to know what your dad thinks of being a man. So ask yourself, how much is really being asked of you if you are supportive of these communities, even if you simply stop behaving in ways that are discriminatory? So if it is your first step into considering not being a dick to the 2S LGBTQIA communities, this is a good starting point to think about. It's not hard. There is not a lot being asked of you. I will say that in terms of active allyship, I think that you should be doing more than just say not discriminating against the community. But not discriminating against the community, that's a good start. And it's not that much. So people who I hear opposing the rights of the 2S LGBTQIA community often have views like, oh, I'm expected to learn and understand all these things now. Or, oh no, we have to, I can't even think of a way to express that. That's, that makes any sense to me because it's ludicrous. Like, oh, what, now we have to, like, learn to ask people's name and pronouns? It's similar to objections that you see to say, oh, I have to learn this new thing because, say, someone from another culture is someone that you're interacting with, or maybe you're in international business and learning relations to other cultures. Like, sometimes you have to learn new things. And if you grumble and whine about it, you're not advancing beyond the learning capacity of a toddler. It's hard learning new things. And when you're a kid, it makes you tired and sometimes you cry. But you're an adult and you can fucking do better. So if you are whining and moaning about having to learn a few basic new steps, just don't. It's gonna feel a little awkward at first. Any social change kind of does. People who focus on the things that they're being asked them now often forget all of the little steps and changes that have happened over the years. People had an uproar over things like Ms. So Ms. rather than Miss or Mrs. So not being allowed to know the marital status of a woman. How dare they? It's just a change. It's just a change, or having new words so that we don't use the male as the default. People don't like change. They don't like new things. But it's not that hard. And honestly, the world is moving towards not being terrible to other people. I firmly believe that we can keep it moving that way. I really hope that we do. And so, no matter how you feel about this, eventually, you're going to be in a room, say, with your job or your family, and eventually you're going to get to the point where no matter your blustery bullshit that you might pull or your whining or moaning, people are going to be tired of putting up with your shit about just not wanting to behave respectfully to other people. Now, personally, I think we already give way too much leeway and pampering to people who don't want to be respectful to other people. And I see many of these people, in my experience, usually men, who have their little temper tantrums calmed and pandered to by the people around them, usually women who are doing the emotional labor of helping them understand that the world isn't always going to be what they want it to, because that's hard. But, you know, it's just a sad truth about the world that it's not always going to be what you want it to. And guess what? Marginalized people already know that. And it's just how things are. Sometimes you got to learn new things. And if you won't do it because you should be a decent person and respect us like you respect everyone else, do it because eventually, hopefully, it will be socially unacceptable for you not to. So you may as well get on board now, because being a dick in this particular way is soon going to be something that marks you as someone who is a whiny baby. It already does, in my opinion, but as we move, and as more and more people, say, grow up in a society where they have examples of people behaving respectfully towards people of all genders and sexualities, they are going to eventually be confronted with, oh, it's not that hard, and wow, this older relative of mine, for example, or this person who's a peer in my life is refusing to learn something that is tiny and represents the respect that everyone else is giving them. And then they're not going to want to be friends with you because you're shitty. So now is your chance to jump on the not shitty bus and learn to be nice to other people. And if being nice is too much of a touchy-feely word for you, remember that as we increase our understanding of diversity in the world, more and more people who don't suck are going to get on that bandwagon, and eventually they won't want to do business with you. They won't want to date you. They won't want to be in society with you. And that's the other side of your active allyship too. Is that I do see allyship being claimed by people who, say, let homophobic and transphobic comments pass in their friends, their relatives, or in many cases, and maybe this is just an unfortunate part of my experiences, but I do think it's relatively common. I see women who, for example, consider themselves to be allies or to be not homophobic or transphobic, who are, say, married to men who are offensively transphobic and homophobic. And that is not something I consider allyship. You cannot consider yourself someone who's doing anti-racist work if you are married to someone who's a virulent racist, for example. It is your responsibility, if you consider yourself an ally, to talk to these members of your family, to make it matter. So don't let it pass. Don't be the person who just doesn't want to cause a ruffle in these calm family waters, because guess what? That person being the dick is the one causing the problem. We often see the accusations of, oh, don't make a fuss, or you're ruining the evening, or why can't you just let us have a nice night, directed at people who are confronting things like bigotry. But the bigot is the problem. So that type of attitude should be directed at that person. And hopefully, again, if we move towards where society should be, in not being dicks to other people, eventually that will be what happens. But in the meantime, if you see everyone pandering and falling all over themselves to not ruffle the feathers of your relative who is being violently transphobic, you're not an ally if you don't speak up over that. And I get that there can be consequences or it's uncomfortable, but that is the work of an ally. That is what we have to do in our lives. If I am an ally and working to try to be anti-racist and anti-colonial and to work to heal things in this country, it is something that is ongoing work and always going to be part of my life, and it is going to cause me discomfort because that is what these things do. It is uncomfortable to confront the problems that we have in our society that are entrenched, that maybe we've contributed to at some point. But it is valuable, it is necessary, and once you start doing it, it is not that hard. It only takes a little bit of practice with, say, things that feel awkward at first, like introducing yourself with your pronouns or asking someone else's pronouns or saying, wow, that was shitty when someone makes a homophobic joke. But that awkwardness will pass. Or if you're me or someone like me, savor the awkwardness, direct it back against your opponent, make them uncomfortable, because people are always trying to make us uncomfortable with things like rape jokes and homophobic jokes. Social discomfort is a weapon. It's a tool. Use it. There's many ways to be an ally, but it's pretty clear if you're not one. And that's if you allow abuse directed at our communities and attitudes to continue. If you don't challenge them in your family, in your locker rooms, in the spaces that people who are not openly part of our community are in. And I say that because you don't know who is listening. And it could be a friend or a relative who hasn't yet shared with you that part of their identity. And if they hear you say something homophobic, transphobic yourself, or if you are letting it pass in the people around you, they will likely never tell you who they are. And you will never be able to genuinely know or be trusted by that person. Because if you let something pass, that can reflect that you agree with it. And certainly when someone says something shitty and transphobic, that is usually what they believe. Or they believe that they can dominate the room with that attitude. And you've likely seen people like this with their little shit-eating grin, like, ooh, then we make everyone uncomfortable. Oh, now you hurt your feelings? Sorry to disappoint you. Guess what? The world is pretty discriminatory towards our communities. So yeah, it sucks. And yeah, often, especially if it's someone who is young and vulnerable, maybe you did hurt them, and fuck you for doing that. And I hope that somebody else older and more experienced in that room can tell you what a garbage pole of a person you are. But in general, people who revel in thinking they are so edgy and interesting with their discriminatory behavior are whiny babies who can't accept change, or who are upset or scared by it happening, or who think that they're maintaining some sort of social dominance by being just an absolute shithole in a variety of ways. So ask yourself why you're putting up with that. Ask yourself why you're around that person. If it's your partner's friend, which is a social dynamic I've seen often, ask yourself why you're with a partner who's allowing that to pass, or if you think your partner would be upset if you challenged it, what does that mean? What does that mean about the people around you? What does that mean about their genuine allyship? And what does it mean about the children you might have, or the younger siblings that you have, or the friends who have maybe been quiet or never been able to be open with you? What does it mean about all the people around you? Because I can tell you, we're there. And there are many people that I know who are not out to their family and may never be. And that's not just because they don't want to come out directly to the people who are abusive towards our communities. That's also because they have seen other people, maybe even people who consider themselves allies or accepting, sit there and listen while someone else is garbage. So that is not allyship. That is not care. And that is not ever going to make you a good family member, a person who genuinely loves the people around you, because we walk among you. Two LGBTQIA people are born into all kinds of families. It's something that causes us difficulty that we are not born into a group of our own community. So we are often surrounded by people who don't share our identity and who may not yet know ours. And we are making calculated judgments about who it is safe to tell. And that is something that may affect personally our safety. It may affect whether we harm ourselves or die by suicide. So if you are sitting there and allowing these garbage attitudes to still take place in your workplace or in your boys' club or in your locker room or around your dinner table, then you are making it dangerous for people like me. But I can largely take care of myself. And what I am concerned of is the people who are young, the people who are vulnerable, the people who will never make it to my age because they will die by suicide or because they will die by violence that is encouraged by attitudes like yours. And one example that I like to use is thinking about if someone said this about your mother, your wife, someone close to you, someone that you love. When people who are bigots, and again, this maybe reflects my experience and maybe the type of bigotry I've come into contact with. But many people who are bigots love to celebrate how much they don't care about anyone. And they don't give a shit about society. Yeah, great. Oh, it's boring. It's over. It's really common. I'm so tired of these attitudes being represented as if they're being unique, bold mavericks. Yeah, this country was built on shit behavior, so you're not unusual. You're boring. You're basic. You're ordinary. You are a product of the most uncritical, uneventful aspects of society. You are the most mainstream, unresisting part of the world. So, just because increasingly it's not socially acceptable to say these things openly doesn't mean that it's not everywhere, because definitely it is still, unfortunately. And certainly people who are so proud of how they have bigoted opinions and they're not afraid to share them seem to believe that they're some kind of special person who just doesn't care about anything. Okay, but some of these people are the same kind of people who would be angry if you said something derogatory about their mom or the girlfriend, or if you cast aspersions on, say, their sexuality, which don't do that, because that's homophobic in its own right to suggest that, you know, someone is gay, and that's to use that as an insult term to make someone uncomfortable has all kinds of connotations. But guess what? These people recognize that the way we treat each other matters, and they don't want to let it happen to them. And they're just taking advantage of the fact that often people like me don't have enough social power to call out people like them, because we are aware of their violence and we have to survive. And so we have to hold it in for another day, which I'm not great at, which is why I don't go to a lot of parties, because that's who I am at parties. I'm very annoying and I'm a buzzkill if you're going to be a shithead. But even if you think that you're some funnest special boy, remember what George Carlin said? Comedy is something that punches up. And it's really not original to shit on the people who are already facing the worst aspects of society. And guess what? Are obviously braver than you. And I don't say this lightly. You ask any rough He-Man type, or you ask any strong girl boss type who are, for example, transphobic or homophobic, I think this comes through particularly well with cisgender men. If you ask them to, say, wear heels and lipstick and makeup for a day with still having secondary sex characteristics that come across as masculine, things like stubble, broad shoulders, all of the characteristics that an AMAB, assigned male at birth, person would have, if you ask them to dress in a feminine way and live in the world for the day, and they can't laugh it off, they can't pretend that it's a joke, they can't explain why they're doing it, if you ask them to just walk about in that for a day, they will be afraid of that. They are scared of what it might mean about them to do something which, let's be honest, doesn't actually have anything to do per se with gender. It's about expressing, and it can make you feel happy and comfortable and good in the gender that you are, but putting on a dress and lipstick and heels for a day is not something that, quote unquote, makes you anything else in terms of gender. And it doesn't mean anything about your sexuality. But you know that people hold these views and you would be scared. So that is something that trans women and trans femmes in particular face every time they walk out the door. Sometimes trans men and trans masculine folks face it in a different way. Sometimes masculine center lesbians face it in a different way in the world. What it means is we face horrible behavior from people like you, and you could not and would not take that. So if someone is willing to risk that, and you can picture you or someone you know like that going out in the world and how frightening it would be if people are going out in the world as themselves every day, then obviously it matters. And obviously that person is a whole fuck ton braver than you. So this is something that honestly amazes me about the community every day, and in particular about the trans community and the amazing trans trailblazers that have led the community for years and suffered the abuse that the world has put on them and continue to suffer it. And the incredible, amazing trans elders who have survived it, because it is not an easy thing to be a trans person in the world that we have right now, and especially the world that we've had 10, 15, 20 years ago, as we've made even tiny steps forward to make it safer. So, these are people who are obviously brave. and who are obviously certain enough about their identity to go and live the way that they are. And obviously, for them, living in a way that they not are, living in a way that makes them pretend to be someone they're not, is horrible enough that they will risk everything to be who they are. And that is not something that we should have. And certainly I don't think that the world should force anyone to make that choice, make the choice to have to live as they are and face discrimination. And certainly I would like to accompany every single one of them throughout their day and stare down and tell off all of the people who are harassers and who give them dirty looks and make them feel shame for just being themselves, and to remind them how brave and amazing and awesome they are, and how much that humanity helps me to get up every day and not collapse under the weight of what horrible garbage pits so many people are. So, that's my reflection on Pride, and it's not super positive, but I have to say, knowing some wonderful young people coming up in the world and getting to see the community of people who come out earlier and earlier to celebrate themselves is something that makes me so much more angry and protective. And I hope that we get that in every generation. And that's something that drives me as well to do my work and live my life and to amass resources and safety where I can to offer it to our community, because that is something that I want to contribute and that I have seen wonderful queer elders in my community contribute to, people like professors that I've had, people that have taken in queer youth in my hometown. And it shouldn't be necessary, but it is. And so many of us are in part out here motivated because we want to be there to protect you and to provide mentorship and to help explain to the horrible whinging babies of the world that things are not going to be the way that they want it to be. And they're going to have to learn to live like that, like everyone else. I promise you, things are never going to be entirely what I want them to be. We're never going to live in a utopia where people will not harass a young person for who they are. I doubt that I'll see that in my lifetime, though. You know, cross your fingers, let's hope for the singularity. But myself and people who don't work directly in this, but who live their lives as genuine allies or as proud members and mentors in our community, are making things better. And so that's what Pride means for me. And I want the celebration to be there for young people who need to come out and come together with their identity. For me, some of the ways that I feel about it will always be mixed. And I don't like to see people supporting on the surface when all of the other months of the year we are struggling and fighting to survive and there is nobody making an effort to help with things. So, to the people who are making an effort with their allyship, thank you. We appreciate it. Even if it is small, even if it doesn't come out the way you wanted it to, even if you're making mistakes, even if it feels awkward, and it will, because change always feels awkward, it is something that matters immensely, and that future generations will recognize as a very important action on your part. And I can promise you that because the people that I interact with when I was younger, and the people who I've interacted with even in the last 10 years, my legal, technical adult years, have mattered so much to me. The work of people like Ivan Coyote and Ray Spoon have mattered to me immensely. The work of people who have made themselves visible in the media, who have shared their stories, like the gorgeous and enchanting Janet Mock, have mattered so much to me and to all the people who get to see themselves reflected in that, and who get to experience for a very brief time the advantages and privileges that everybody else has of their community. Kids get to see straightness represented everywhere. So every little bit of representation we get not only helps to give the young people who are part of our community the people to hold on to and aspire to be, but also reminds all the other kids that we are there to look up to as well. And guess what? Two SLGBTQIA people, minoritized genders and sexualities, are interesting and professional and talented and fun. And sure, some of us are boring and like crafting and drinking tea indoors, but guess what? We are just ordinary. And we are part of the world, and it matters that we are here and we get the same rights as everybody else, and that other people don't just show up to the party. So, in light of that, I do want to play some music for you, and so that I will do more than just rant on Pride this year. But if you are dealing with issues, or if you are someone who is encountering hate in your daily life and is not sure how to respond to it, or if you just want some more information, please do write to me with your questions. I might be able to direct you to something that is helpful. If I'm not directly a member of that community, I might be able to direct you to information about that community. I might be able to help you to, say, find resources that can allow you to properly support people who might come out around you, or to just educate yourself on the possibilities, to just be a more genuinely thoughtful and intelligent citizen of the world. Because again, no matter how much you whine about it, if you look at the evidence of the world, there's gender diversity, there's sexual diversity out there. We are simply a fact, and it's time to accept us. So, this is from A Chrysalis, a song off of Anastasia Janes, Confessions from a Closet.
I
was Anastasia Jane with one of many beautiful songs from the Confessions from a Closet album. So that was from A Chrysalis. And I do have other songs by Anastasia Jane that I want to play today. But also, I want to talk about a few tiny news items. And I will say that these center a little bit in the U.S., but I think that's where some of our cultural icons and actors and entertainers that we all follow tend to sit. So I do want to talk about them in terms of some nice things and some things that suck. Some things that suck are that I'd like to continue to use Netflix, and they continue to host people like Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle, who insist on punching down at the lowest of low. So really, like, if you are someone who is stooping to mock trans people, you're really sad and boring, for one, because for fuck's sake, like, trans people have been harassed and mocked and made the butt of the joke for years. So really, there's just not anything original that you can say in that way. And honestly, that type of bigotry is pretty strongly situated in a camp with other types of bigotry. So it's pretty clear where most of those people stand today. And so many of those people are, for example, like white nationalists and racists as well. So this is really who you're throwing in with when you're out there still just doing your best to punch down and to fail, I guess, to find any sort of culturally relevant work by which you can assert yourself. So I don't know how many people that we are going to have to get in positions who are actually 2SLGBTQIA+ before any of this actually changes, because of course Dave Chappelle's making a lot of money for Netflix, and so are people like Ricky Gervais, and so are the people who are connected to them who are comics and who are people working in the entertainment industry. And so again, if those people actually care about things like pride, and I would say that many of the people who are connected to both of these people do, at least openly suggest that they are allies, they need to say something. Things are not going to change by queer folks and trans folks calling for this to stop, because guess what? The whole point of why they are able to dunk on us and get away with it is that we are a minority group, and there is not enough of us to defend ourselves against the larger community when it continues to bring violence. So what it's gonna take is other people, but I'm not gonna kid myself that many people are gonna jump ship from Netflix at this point. And of course, there's not necessarily many streaming services that don't have something that has some sort of problematic aspect to it, but Netflix is a big one, and it is making giant money for Dave Chappelle off of his virulent transphobia, as well as off of other people who express homophobic views, like Kevin Hart, and who haven't made any effort to apologize or make up for that either. And so, there's a community of people who are on a similar level as entertainers, who need to start to say something. I would like to hear from other people who maybe consider themselves allies or are just sort of quietly standing there, not expressing these views themselves, but definitely continuing to work with people. And I need there to be actual consequences for these people who are being shitheads. So they're not going to stop if it's causing violence and abuse and death to children, because it is. Because especially in the trans community, and still in the gay community, and depending on your background and where you come from and the supports that you have, stuff like this directly contributes to and fans the flames of the people who are in their schools and in their classrooms and are their co-workers and are their dating pools, who will also express these views, who will also harass them, who will eventually be violent towards them. And this is something that contributes to high levels of people dying by suicide within our community, or people experiencing violence. And so if you are a part of that entertainment community, it is your responsibility to stop working with them, because that is the only kind of thing that is going to have any consequences for these people. They don't care what we think, obviously. And obviously, many of you are too much of a cowardly baby to do anything about this. Or you might share those views. So as long as we have silence from other entertainers, I'm kind of sitting nervously wondering which people whose work I admire are going to show themselves to be garbage people in the next couple days. Now, Billy Eichner, I continue to trust, and let's say his beautiful memeability with Let's Go Lesbians has stolen my heart in many ways, as has his screaming character on Parks and Recreation, because I love an angry person with lots of emotions, because that's who I am. And I loved Craig and his enthusiasm, because my enthusiasm is also aggressive in that way. I aggressively cheerlead my friends. So let's say that I relate a lot to Billy Eichner and some of his work. And so he was someone who, in Standout and LGBTQ plus Celebration, which is ironically a comedy special streaming on Netflix, which is also hosting, you know, comedy like Dave Chappelle and his dangerous shitty views. He took this opportunity to say something about it and about people being demeaned and dehumanized. And, of course, this is something that audiences didn't immediately respond to, because we know that people don't care that much about things like transphobia. That's one of the reasons that it's killing people. However, it is something that matters for him to say something. So this is something that's important to me to see in people that I admire, and someone who certainly doesn't have the clout of someone like Dave Chappelle or Ricky Gervais. And so it matters a lot that he's saying this. Now, of course, there is the fact that this is streaming on Netflix, and I wouldn't say that anyone who's a performer like him necessarily has the choice to just not work with Netflix. So I'm not going to blame anyone for the choices they're forced to make in terms of being in their industry, because I don't want to see queer folks stop being able to work in an industry simply because they are struggling against the same transphobic, homophobic crap that we're all facing. So that's not a choice necessarily that I want those people to make, or certainly unless they are at the stature where, for example, they could force a change potentially within someone that they're working with or on an individual movie or things like that. But there is an article on them that I will post in the show notes that talks about how, of course, this criticism is streaming on Netflix. Netflix is profiting both off of the transphobic stuff and off of the LGBTQ plus content. And essentially they have us a silver barrel, because even now LGBTQ content is hard to find. And as consumers, we don't have a ton of choice about representation, because it is very hard to get it. And of course, we would like to see people like Billy Eichner have support in their careers. We'd like to see that their shows reflect great viewership and that they continue to get jobs and things like that. And of course, just we all need entertainment, and it is valuable and important for us to be able to go on and say, watch a comedy special by someone who actually shares our identity and is able to make insightful social commentary or just decent jokes that don't degrade our communities. So it matters that he said something. And it matters a lot to me in terms of who he is as a person, because, of course, he is someone who is working within that same community. And these are people who hold a lot of power to advance the careers of other people by working with them or by recommending them and things like that. So Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais are very embedded in the community. And so any open criticism, no matter where it comes from or how short a time it's able to be represented in, is something which, of course, is going to be discussed in things like this article and is going to reflect in their career. So it is still something that matters immensely, and that kind of small gesture I really appreciate. It makes me very happy to get the opportunity to see someone just not ignore the fact that this is happening. And I hope that all of us can channel a little bit of Craig and continue to be just pissed off, because this is garbage. And now that we're living in a world that's increasingly connected and that we can talk about and communicate, we are all inundated with so much that it's really hard to see what we can act on. But little things like this can help show us where other people stand. So they can also show us, for example, even if you're not simply a viewer, but if you're someone else in that industry, it can show you that someone else shares your views and that you're not going to be the first person to speak out if you also say something. And definitionally, here's some punching up, because Billy Eichner is saying something about people who are using their power to harm another community. And historically, as North American countries, we don't mind that happening, and it is something that still takes courage to say something about it. These are countries that are built on, intentional discrimination and exclusion and imposition of things that foster homophobia and transphobia. So we've got a lot to work against in changing it. And we have a lot of amazing people in different communities and as allies who are doing the work of just thinking about how can we make this better? What can we do? So I don't know what we can do about this particular moment of entertainment other than if you got social media, tweet negative things about Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais. Hope that they don't hold the power in the future to say these things about those communities. If your friends laugh at those jokes or want to watch that, tell them they're being garbage. Those are little things that we can do. And so another person that did speak out as well is Mae Martin. And again, this is really interesting to see. During Pride Month, because of course, ostensibly, we've got allies, right? They're supposed to be allies. Isn't that interesting, though, that the people that we see speaking out about this are the people who are part of our communities? So that's something that is interesting because this is the time of year where it is most popular to support us and people aren't even paying lip service in some areas. So that silence stands out especially because it is easy, doesn't cost that much to do that. Though I will say that, of course, as I noted, it does cost something in the sense that the people making these statements have relative smug confidence and a reason to think that. Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais are very well entrenched in comedy communities. Even if they never made any more money after today, they'd always have enough money, so we're not worried about those things. And so it's something that we can't take much away from them. And they can take away from people who stand with us. So this is the time when allyship and visible allyship matters. And when not saying anything reflects maybe that you're only willing to make a little rainbow post or say happy pride, but you're not willing to make that statement if it's something that takes any effort or could potentially take away from you. And what I can say to that too, though, is that increasingly over the years, we've seen more and more diverse comedians and entertainers and people who will eventually become the community that has the power to lift other people up and give them the advantages, who hopefully will eventually replace the Dave Chappelle's and the Ricky Gervais's and have the ability to support each other as performers. And if you have to continually keep quiet about this kind of garbage to get ahead, it's a hard choice. And if you are established enough that, for example, you're not losing out your meal ticket, say something. Because it's not that big a sacrifice. And I understand if people are risking their safety and their safety in terms of economics, if they aren't going to have a job or if they're not going to be able to ever work again, you know, in the industry that they work in, if they speak out against these people who are so well established. But you know what? If you're doing okay, you've got no excuse not to say anything. And that silence is your actual pride statement. So, in terms of people who do say something and say something good, let's see, Rebel Wilson is one of us, is dating a woman. No idea how Rebel Wilson identifies. This isn't something that she's labeled or noted, but she's dating a woman. That's great. I love it. I'm not hugely a fan of some of Rebel Wilson's, like, most recent things and some of the fat phobia that's come from things she's changing, but I'm always happy to see someone casually dating a woman when they're a woman. That's great. I love it. I love Mae Martin as someone who's pretty young and still building their career, being someone who joined Billy Eichner in saying something about Dave Chappelle, and that's something that makes a difference, and I'm happy to see it, and I'm happy to see it too in someone who, again, can lose something by saying it. And then, of course, there's Wonder Woman, someone who continues to hold up the mantle of my dreams, who continues to not fail me in being a decent person, which again, it's not that hard, but it's sad that I have to be so delighted that someone's just not being garbage. But of course, I am delighted to see anything Wonder Woman, and I have a beautiful vintage photo of Linda Carter as Wonder Woman framed downstairs in my den, so I adore any mention of her. And of course, she is someone who defended drag brunches with a quote that I think is great. So in a Them article by Samantha Riddell, there's a wonderful quote from Linda Carter saying, "They have bread and wine, loving community, and men in fabulous dresses. Sounds a little like church to me," end quote. So that's her speaking on drag brunches, which is something that, again, cisgender, heterosexual folks, conservatives who are threatened by, I don't know, people existing, recognizing that the diversity of the world does not revolve around them and their tiny little ideas, are really mad about drag happening, I guess. And I really want everyone to be Christian and attend their churches. And again, your country, really open about not being centered on Christianity. And I mean, despite the evidence to the contrary, because it continues to try to drag Christianity into it. There's representatives like Lauren Boebert, who is a garbage pile of a human being, tweeting that people should take their children to church, not drag bars. Apparently upset over the fact there was a kid-friendly drag show in Texas. And I love that. I love drag shows. I love story time drag queens. I love kids getting to see people be fancy and glorious and entertaining and comedic. And honestly, that's not the only place kids are seeing that, because kids dress up and love to be fancy and cool and talk and glitter, you know? That's something that's very appealing to children. Have you ever seen an arts and crafts room? So, that whiny baby who wants everyone to conform to her religion and who is probably very threatened by the existence of multiple anything in the world. So was mad about people going to drag bars. And I love Linda Carter saying that statement because, yeah, the pageantry of the church and all the shininess and glitter and all of that performance, it's not that different, though. It's probably not quite as entertaining. You know, you're supporting an institution that used to insist on saying things in Latin so that everyone had to sit there and literally not understand what they could say. Christian mythology and iconography is always going to be hilarious to me because there is so much of a stretch to try to make it fit the views that their proponents have today. And also, I'm interested in Christianity as a history and what it represents and translations and things like that. And honestly, just... It's not a fun place. I had to go to church as a child. I spent all the time braiding my hair, and I did occasionally get candy, but I would have loved to go to a drag brunch. And you know what? We were no longer part of that church because they weren't great to a lot of communities. And this was way before my queerness, so that was not about that. So Linda Carter's not wrong. There's plenty going on in churches that has to do with fashion and has to do with community and performance and song and things like that. So, you know what? You'd probably find a lot of the things you like in a drag bar. And honestly, they serve food and they have easily accessible bathrooms. And if you've ever been to a church, having to wait until after church to eat food or having to get up and go past the pew to everyone to get to the bathroom, that's annoying for everyone. Your kids probably don't want to be there. If you insist on that being part of your life, like, I don't know. I think you should consider drag. But people don't really like to see Linda Carter being wonderful. And they're like, oh, Wonder Woman's not a superhero for gays. Oh, guess what, buddy? The gays love Wonder Woman. We love superheroes. There's a lot of nerds in the gays. Aspirational things we want to be that are just out of reach. Beautiful colors. All of that is something that, I don't know, I was very attracted to fantasy and comics and people who were able to stand up to bigotry, for example. I mean, do you not know about Wonder Woman and a lot of comics and the history of, say, writers, artists, creators who are part of marginalized communities writing superheroes who could act out the kind of heroism and standing up to discrimination that we'd all like to see? Superheroes are for people like me. You're gonna see people like Wonder Woman, I don't know, fighting fascists. And fascists are people who are a little bit more like Lauren Boebert, for example. So, it's really not something I think that you'll find yourself on the right side of. I'm sure there's super hateful comics, and certainly there's a lot of problematic histories as well, but like, people who see themselves in comics, people who write great comics, communities that embrace comics, there's a lot of gays in there. So it's something that is special to Linda Carter, and it's wonderful to see, because she also continued to talk about how someone said that Wonder Woman helped them when they were closeted and things like that. And of course, she posted a photo of herself in a ready to fight your homophobic relatives pose. And that makes me just so happy. So I need things like that to end on. I need happiness. I need people like Laura Dern and Linda Carter who are willing to say something about our communities and who don't have to be one of us, our basic humanity, and who are saving us the work of responding to just literal garbage holes like Lauren Boebert, who I cannot believe is involved in their legislation. So honestly, Linda Carter treated you with much more courtesy than any of the rest of us think you deserve. I'm going to play you out with Anastasia Jane, My Masquerade.